Good evening. James McCanny here with my Science Hour. And August 11, 2011, going right into the show. A lot of topics to cover tonight. I'll be talking a little bit about economic stability on an individual basis as the people out there prepare for all kinds of disasters, not the least of which is just the government taking this country down. And remember that the government is set up, they're the representatives of the European bankers. And I saw an article the other day, by the way, the main science topic tonight, I'll be talking about the science of Moses, talking about some historical events that the issues that happened during the time of Moses. I've talked about these before. I'll be going into a little bit more detail tonight about the science of what was going on at that time. So that'll be the main science topic. But back to the economics, I just saw an article, somebody blaming Leninist philosophy that's what Obama is up to. And by the way, I'm not a Democrat or a Republican, so don't think I'm talking politics here. I'm talking on a world scale that no matter who's in government office, the end result is the same. But remember that Lenin was controlled by the bankers. You have to go back to the original source. Who was Lenin? Who supported Lenin? Where did he get his power from? It was the European bankers. So there's a lot of diversionary tactics right now, the blame game, pointing over there. Oh, Obama's a Marxist, he's a communist. It's all kinds of arguments, but the real issue is that he represents the European bankers, the fundamental source of all the problems we're dealing with today in this world. I'll go back to that same point. But the point is, how do you as an individual prepare? How do you adjust during these times when the dollar is collapsing, something that's been stable for a long time? A lot of people starting to think about retiring, the baby boom generation just starting to retire. So at any rate, how do you manage your life? And a lot of people don't understand that adjusting financially really amounts to being physically and spiritually and emotionally ready for issues. How to live at many different levels. I've talked about that before. So anyway, I'm going to be talking about that. And then, as I said, the main science topic, be talking about the ancient history, the science of Moses. Interesting topic. But first of all, here's a topic that I've been watching this since spring, since last winter. And I reported a little bit, but tonight I'm going to hit it really hard. I want you to really listen to this. The weather reporting that we're seeing is, in a high percentage of the cases, just completely wrong. Let me give some examples. Of course, I use online weather reporting just as much as anybody else. And so, of course, I go to all the various sites, the places where you would get information. And I started noticing a trend probably about a year ago it started. And at that time, the weather predictions, the temperature a week out, they were always almost within a couple degrees. And then the rain 3 or 4 days out, they might be a little bit hit or miss, but within a couple days, a few days, they would have pretty good accuracy with the weather reporting and the weather prediction. Now, the weather reporting is such that the weather report of right now is totally incorrect, including temperatures. They can be off as much as 10 degrees in temperature right now, and all that takes is stick a thermometer out the window and you can tell what the temperature is. They're wrong with that. The other day, I'm sitting here right where I am, and there's heavy, heavy overcast where I am, and I look on the map hoping that, well, this is one little spot and it's going to go away. And because the day before I looked and there were no clouds, so I thought, well, gee, this is developed in a short amount of time, so it's probably not very big. It's going to pass. So I pull up on the first weather internet site that I went to, and it showed perfectly clear skies. And I zoomed in, and I zoomed in, and I thought, well, gee, this is funny. There's no clouds. There's no, on the radar, you can see the moisture in the air, precipitation. I looked up everything. Everything was wrong. I mean, it turned out that it was overcast for the good part of a day, and the clouds were moving fairly rapidly, which meant that it was a fairly significant cloud system. And on these internet sites, you typically can get down to about within a mile, within a half a mile many times of where you are or of a given location. And so to show a perfectly clear sky and no clouds, I thought, how could this isn't even possible. I mean, this must be from a different day, a different place on the planet. Something's really wrong here. And then just occurred to me, I think I better talk about this on the radio show, that the weather over the past year, but more increasingly as more recent times, the weather reporting has been just absolutely wrong. Not only the predictions are wrong, the temperatures are wrong, the everything seems to be wrong. It just is incredible. You couldn't look out the window and be that wrong. You know, and these guys have equipment. They have satellites. They have computer predictions. So I just want to mention that the weather reporting has gotten to be so deplorable that it cannot be trusted. I had a friend that used to go fishing. And I said, well, the weather report, I was talking to him one day, and I said, you know, he was going to go fishing. And he said, the weather report shows rain. He looked at me, he laughed, and he said, first of all, he said, never depend on the weather report to go fishing. He says, they're always wrong. And kind of tongue-in-cheek. And that day, he went fishing. It was a beautiful, clear day, and he caught a lot of fish. And I went back, and I saw all the fish, and he was laughing. And I said, yeah, you were right. He said, the weather report was completely wrong. But at any rate, the point is, it's just one more sector of life that is really, really incorrect. So at any rate, maybe I should do this next topic right now, work this in. NASA recently, in fact, I was on Coast to Coast the other night, first hour. A lot of times they call me up and say, James, will you do a quick news brief analysis of a topic? And then that particular night, which night was it? Was it Monday night, Sunday night? I forget. It was Sunday night, that's right. Weekend producer called me, that's right. So I think it was Sunday night. Anyway, asked me to do a quick commentary on solar activity. And so I found it interesting that NASA has been making predictions. And that what they're predicting is that the next upcoming 10 years, we're going to have bad solar flares, and it's really going to affect Earth, take down the grid, affect satellite communications. It's going to have all of these negative effects. And so I understand that that's possible. And the sun is kicking up. We're having some good flaring activity recently. But this is in the solar cycle that has come late. It's arrived late. It built up very slowly. They're still dealing with a lack of sunspots on average, although sunspot 1261 this past week kicked out some pretty good flares. There's another sunspot 1263 that's growing and looks like it has potential for activity. But to make a prediction that the next 10 years specifically are going to be horrendous for solar flaring and affect Earth, It's really unfounded because this is, for all practical purposes, where we are in the solar cycle, solar flaring is normal. So there's nothing stupendous that should require NASA to make this announcement. And then one would think, a little bit maliciously, but true, that NASA's just fishing for funding. If they say how bad it's going to be and they have to study it and they got to be on the front line to warn everybody, then they're going to get funding. And everybody, all the scientists that work on government, which is 99.9% of all the scientists, they're all worried about funding because, you know, funding is being cut in a lot of areas. So they're worried about their funding being cut on NASA and other government programs. And I thought, well, you know, this is a little more than that. There's something more going on here. And then I thought, well, wait a minute now. We're heading into a time when we know that the government wants to shut the country down and say they could release biowarfare in the cities. Okay, well, that would shut the cities down or a few particular cities. They could have rioting or this or that, and they would have to then have the goon squads go in, their paramilitary or whatever they have planned to go in and try and control things. But then I got to thinking, what's something that everybody needs? And we've talked about this before. Well, of course, everybody needs water, so if they poisoned the water, then everybody would be dependent on the government to provide them with water. Well, of course, the government couldn't do that. But then it dawned on me, when NASA is making this dire prediction over the next 10 years of imminent solar flaring, I thought, gee, you know, I'm starting to smell a rotten fish in Denmark here, as the old expression goes. And here's the situation. If they build up this that there's going to be massive solar flaring and that we're going to see this, that would be laying the groundwork for potential solar flare and then a fake grid, electrical grid outage across the nation. Now, these things have happened before. I remember it was about 1996 or 7. I was actually working in a center where we had a very good monitoring, a very good handle on the national electrical grid. And in Roswell, New Mexico, there started a power outage, and it rolled all the way up to Vancouver. So we had something like 12 or 13 western states without power. And then it was restored, and nobody could quite explain what happened there. These power outages, they do occur, they can occur. And, of course, if we got hit by a good solar flare, I've been on the radio talking about this too, and so it looks like NASA's picking up on the conversation there, that we could have solar flaring. But the difference is I don't make a prediction like in the next 10 years we're going to have the worst solar flaring ever. No, future is very difficult to predict, and I stay away from that. But as I said, NASA's probably fishing for funding. But let's look at this particular aspect of this ploy, of this statement of NASA, that the next 10 years are going to be horrendous for solar flaring. What would you want to do if you were in control of the United States and wanted to shut down everybody so nobody could move? You would shut down the power grid. Well, would you do that just by pulling the switch and saying, I'm President Obama or whoever happens to be president at the time, and pull the switch and say nobody gets electricity? No, you wouldn't do that because people would come after you and hang you, and the businesses couldn't run. But if it were a natural event, an act of God, and, gee, none of us had control over this, and NASA predicted it, and everybody's shining, everybody gets to make a speech, but the end result is that you don't have power, and this includes the rural areas, this would include everybody. Everybody, everybody, everybody. Nobody could do anything. My radio show would not air on the on the radio. I mean, nothing would happen. Very little would happen. You could listen to your battery-operated radio, and possibly some local stations would have enough backup power to operate for a little time, but then, of course, they would just give you the government news that there was a solar flare and it took down the entire national electrical grid. And I thought to myself, are they prepping for that? Because it's the one thing, I mean, you could poison water, but other people, there are people who could have water. There are a lot of people that have purchased water filters from me and would have their own fresh water. So that you couldn't shut down everybody. But you shut down the electrical grid across the country, everything. You can't pump gas. You can't, most everything people depend on runs on electricity. And so just a little aside note, when I talk about being prepared, a little in the next section of the show here, when I talk about being prepared financially, I've got a friend who has, and I have taken this same route myself. I've got all the conveniences of electrical appliances and stuff, but if all that went away, I would have the ability to use hand implements to keep going at another level. I wouldn't be doing all the same things I do now, but I would be able to keep operational. So the point is, how independent are you? How many levels can you live at? And so one of the points here too is I want to make sure that people are aware of this, that I think, and I'm going to stick my neck out on a limb here a little bit and say that I'm almost predicting that they're planning on shutting down the U.S. electrical grid and blaming it on a solar flare. Now let's look at another little incident that happened recently, and we see that they were preparing it, and then when a certain natural event happened, that triggered all of the other man-made events that went along with it. I'm talking about the earthquakes and tsunami in Japan. It's very clear to me that the tsunami was man-made. It was made by nuclear explosions sitting off in those trenches northeast of Japan. That's why after the tsunami, the whirlpools were very visible in the ocean over there. Actually, from satellites and other aerial photography, it was very clear that the whirlpools off of Japan after the tsunami came in were the result of nuclear bombs going off. Here's basically what would happen. The nuclear explosion would expand the water, would lift the water up, and remember the old World War II film footage of depth charges that were meant to break submarines, and they would come off the destroyer. So it was basically a big drum of explosives, and that would go down in the water to a certain depth and then explode, and that pressure would kill the submarine. But anyway, just do you remember the picture of, I used to watch these, and when I was a kid, they had a lot of World War II footage, and you'd see the depth charges rolling off the back of the destroyer and dropping down to a certain level, and then you'd see the water rising and then fall back down, and that's when that charge went off. Well, imagine a nuclear bomb going off, 51 of them underwater and along this trench. The water would go way up and then would drop way down in, and that's what the whirlpools were caused by. That's not a natural result of a landslide. You see, because a landslide simply moves. It doesn't create a big enough surface explosion to where you're going to have whirlpools coming in. And so anyway, the whirlpools were very indicative of a man-made explosion that caused the tsunami. But my point here is that they had been waiting, the people who had this event planned to destroy the country of Japan, economically and physically, they were waiting for an earthquake to come along because then they could say, ah, massive earthquake causes tsunami, destroys Japan, the nuclear reactors go under and all of this. Well, they had bombs set at the nuclear reactors, but what they needed was the natural event, the earthquake, and Japan has plenty of earthquakes, but they needed a bigger than average earthquake for the cover story. This is the point I'm trying to make, so that then they could set the bombs off in the trenches and cause the tsunami and blow up the nuclear reactors and cause the radiation and basically kill Japan economically, physically, every other way that you could imagine. And so they were taking out an entire country. But they had to wait for that natural event of the earthquake to come along, and then they could point to the earthquake, and everybody still today is saying, oh, the massive earthquake that caused a tsunami, and the reporting, of course, the Schmooze News reports exactly what they're told to report. The real story is that the earthquake, yes, there was an earthquake in Japan that day, but it wasn't a big one. It was about a 5.5. And so at any rate, but they needed that natural event to kick off the events that led to the destruction of Japan. Now, fast forward to August 2011, and all of a sudden, NASA is saying the next 10 years we're going to have whopping big solar flares. Well, one thing about solar flares, we have them all the time. But the sun is a three-dimensional animal. The flares go out in all directions, and Earth is one little pinpoint of dust way over here. And it's very rare that those solar flares are directed directly at Earth. It's extremely rare. So in a solar cycle, you might have 20 or 30 major X-class flares. And what's the probability that one of those is going to be Earth-directed? Well, it's no different now than it was in the solar cycle previous to this one, and that's no different than the one previous to that. So why is this one so big and almighty, according to NASA? You see, their story doesn't add up. But if they're trying to build the cover story for someone to take down the national grid, now you're starting to talk. Now you're starting to understand that there might be a reason for NASA to provide this cover story. Are NASA scientists doing this? No. They're tier two bozos. They don't know anything. They're just trying to earn a paycheck. They're just saying what they're told to say. And remember that it's not a NASA scientist saying this. This is a NASA news release agency saying this. They're saying what they're told to say. So understand that there's not a conspiracy of NASA scientists. No, they don't know anything. And if one of them were told to make a comment, sure, they would say, sure, this could be such and such. There could be a big solar flare. But they don't have any better prediction mechanism than I do or you do. So why is the next 10 years so almighty huge in terms of solar flares in this NASA prediction, when in reality there's no basis for what they're saying? Sure, there's going to be solar flares. Sure, they could come in and hit Earth. But it almost sounds like they're sure that it's going to happen. You see what I mean? And how would you be sure that it's going to happen? Unless, gee, you were part of the gig to make the cover story. So when the big solar flare comes, and there could be one, there could be one that even does affect Earth. But at that point, that's when somebody big on top can pull the switch and shut down the entire national grid, and all the newspapers, it was a big solar flare that shut down the power grid. And gee, all this rioting that happened after, then we had to bring in the troops and declare martial law. Do you see the scenario? So I just wanted to point that out, because I just smelt a rat, so to speak, when NASA kept making this announcement. So, and I want to mention too that NASA is not above faking data. We've seen them with the SOHO satellite fake data before. Let's take an example. I'm trying to think if it was Comet McNaught. That name sticks in my mind. But anyway, there was a comet that came through. It came near the sun. And NASA, whoever did it, it was a very poor job, but they pasted continually the same picture of a comet, having it move by the side of the sun. And now, a tail of the comet points away from the sun, typically, but this one just kind of moved down along the side of the sun, and they just kept pasting the same picture of the comet moving by the sun, and actually put this out on the SOHO webpage. It was so absurd that it defied all logic. And it was the same picture of the comet. Comets change. They change shape. They change dimensions. The curvature of the tail, that all changes very dramatically when they're near the sun. But not this one. It just was boom, 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 all pasted down the side of the picture in successive frames. The point I'm making is NASA is not above faking data and presenting it to the public. We've seen this many times. Or they've shut down satellites. They've shut them down at key times when we were trying to get critical data, etc., etc. So at any rate, I think that's a major story. That's why I'm spending a little bit of extra time. And I'm going to go out on a limb here saying that because of the way this announcement was made, I think that is a plan, that they are going to shut down the U.S. electric grid. They're going to wait for a solar flare that's near Earth or Earth affecting, and then it could possibly affect part of the grid or a little bit, or have a repercussions on the grid or satellites, but they're going to shut down. They're going to use that as the key. Just like the earthquake, the 5.5 earthquake in Japan was used as the key to start the tsunami that then now all the newspapers can say an earthquake caused a tsunami in Japan. So, as I said, I'm going out on a limb saying that I really think high percentage, 98.999% correct, that NASA is going to run that cover story. And it'll be a way to shut down the grid and shut down the United States, and that'll be the beginning of the end right there. And you won't be able to move. You won't be able to go any place. You won't be able to run your pump. All city services will be gone. Just think natural gas will be shut off. Everything will be shut down. So that brings us up to a point. Now, I talk about preparedness, and if you're going to be prepared, then preparing, whether it's Planet X coming through and taking out the power grid and taking out infrastructure, or whether it's the government doing it like this, like I just was explaining, it doesn't matter, because to you, sitting in your house, you're not going to go out and get in your car and go very far. You're probably going to save the gas that you do have for emergency or one or two trips someplace if there's some place to go to. Remember, if that happens, the grocery stores are going to clear out in about a New York second, and there's not going to be anything at the grocery store. You're going to be sitting there with your finger up your nose unless you are prepared. Preparedness is very simple. Being prepared is very simple. And that's what a lot of people think. We've had a lot of natural disasters in this country. A couple years ago, the flooding that was in the central southern part of the United States. This year, in the spring, we had flooding through the major belt, Nebraska, and the central United States. We had flooding in North Dakota. This is heartland USA. This isn't off in Afghanistan or India or Bangladesh. This is in the United States. And people are losing their homes, their livelihood, their ability to take care of themselves. And so it can happen here. It does happen here. But there again, let me just mention once again, and I've talked about all of the phony stories regarding Comet Elenin and the huge amount of internet hype that has gone out. Much of it, I've kind of summarized the issues of Comet Elenin. First of all, it's to present a phony scare. a phony Planet X scare. And this is clear misinformation. This is not the little Johnny up the street who's just decided he was going to be a Comet Ellen and expert. No, this is all very well planned. This is not just a guy up the street that just happens to be interested and thinks he knows something. No, this is all very well planned. YouTube videos. There's a multi-pronged attack here. First of all, it's to destroy the issue of Planet X, to give another bogus cover story that isn't going to come true. Second of all, it's to destroy my work. You look at some of these postings that are up there, ridiculous statements, but it's like they took all of the words from my books and changed them around, that comets are capacitors, and they store charge, and when they get near something, they electrically discharge. It looks like my stuff, but it's all garbage. It's all changed around. And so any scientist who would look at this would go, this is ridiculous. You know, this is just garbage, and you got some guy predicting that the world's going to end due to a little teeny comet that you can't even see with a decent telescope. So what's the issue here? Well, they're also predicting dates. That gives a cover story for certain dates. And that kind of takes the alternative crowd and gives them something to focus on, because they're always trying to grab onto a date or a Planet X issue or something Nibiru, that a lot of the fake stories on the internet regarding Comet Ellen and call it Nibiru. Well, none of this is true. This is NASA finally released a picture of Comet Ellen in the other day, taken with the Stereo B, which is a solar observing satellite. NASA released the first photo that I've seen and the first public claim of any agency that was in fact Comet Ellen. It was moving at that time through the belt stars of Orion, the constellation Orion. And so it looks somewhat legitimate, but in all of the other commentary, of course, another thing this does, the Comet Ellen story, it allows NASA white hats, the good guys, the guys with the white hats at NASA, to come in and tell you all about the dirty snowball comet model and how correct it is and how ridiculous all this internet stuff is. And it wouldn't give NASA white hat tier 2 scientists a platform if it weren't for the Comet Ellen garbage that's being spread on the internet. Well, the Comet Ellen garbage information would not even be there if it were not for the government-promoted disinformation campaign. But the Tier 2 NASA scientists are too stupid to understand that they're just part of a dog and pony show. And they're just doing their job, marching around, telling you how great the Dirty Snowball Comet model is. But they wouldn't have a platform if it weren't for the Comet Ellen story. So you see all of the multi-pronged effects in the disinformation world that are coming into effect due to the Comet Ellen story that was released starting back at the beginning of this year, 2011. It started getting out on the internet around January of 2011. And so very much using my name directly and mixing it in with, the aliens are confirming James McCanney's work. It just got loonier and loonier and loonier. And then, of course, they let that roll for about a month, and then Discover Magazine comes in with its story saying, oh, look at how ridiculous all of this is. And you see, this is how the dog and pony shows work. Some people have suggested, you know, hey, McCanney, how come you don't go out and fight this? Get a court order. Make them stop using your name and material. And, of course, that would just burn up my time and energy for one thing. But more importantly for me and for my point of view, I think it's important to leave all of that stuff up there. And then once you people out there wake up and see how much effort they are putting into this misinformation campaign, That's going to be that's going to be an educational experience for you, the listener, because you're going to go, wow, this is not a small-time operation. They are putting major time and money into trying to destroy Jim McCanney, his work, his science. They're trying to destroy the concept of Planet X and all the good work that some people have done. Remember that there's a lot of misinformation books about Planet X out there. They talk about all of these different... It's like they took their mouse on their computer, mouse copied everything on the internet, threw it into a book, and then went on and tried to be an expert on the radio. All of them claiming that they've been studying this for the last 30 years. And you ask, well, who's this person? You know, nobody's ever heard of them, but they've been so-called expert for 30 years. I doubt it, you know. But they can get on radio shows because they're put there. They're part of the misinformation campaign. And just flooding the airwaves with garbage that doesn't make any sense about Planet X. So what does the poor, unsuspecting, first-time listener do? He says, I really want to learn about Planet X. I just found out about it. So he goes out and he searches on Planet X on the internet, and what do you find? Garbage, garbage, and more garbage. And I'll tell you something, you won't find my name on Wikipedia. You won't find it on Google. Why? Because they don't want you to go to my site and get the real story and to get a rational story. They want you to go to all of these other goofy places where the just ridiculous statements, people with no background, people with no basis for what they're saying, that's where they want to send you so that you get a big, confusing picture of everything. Okay, so at any rate, part of preparing for Planet X is simply understanding misinformation, because you're going to get labeled with it from all directions. Remember that the plan of the, oh, what would you call it? The, I guess there's a lot of different ways to talk about this, but one, the plan is to keep you so tied up with red tape, government, licensing, requirements from government, so that you cannot move. Remember that now that it's hard to get a job, the government can go out and hire anybody, then they'll do anything to keep that job. So what are they going to do? They're going to turn on their fellow citizens. They're going to be people marching up and down the street with little uniforms and little rule books, and their job is going to be to assert a certain rule. Oh, you didn't do this. Right now the police are just, I just heard this. August is going to be safety month. The police are really going to be checking your speed to make sure you're not going over the speed limit. Well, what are they doing? They're just out there fleecing the public. That's another form of invisible taxation. It's another way to get money into the coffers of the cities, which are drying up. The counties, the states, all of these governments are going broke. And they can't fleece the people anymore through taxation, because if you raise the sales tax, people will buy less. That's what's going on. So what do you do? What does everybody have to do? They have to get out on the road and drive it up and down the road. So you put your police goons out there, and what do? They give out tickets all day. They're not creating safety. Their safety is not the issue. Of course, that's the cover story. But they're out to fleece you. And the tickets aren't little. They're hundreds of dollars. And then if you don't have your insurance handy, there's $200 more, and on and on and on. So this is just another way to maintain the bureaucracies, but it's a giant leech on society. Remember that the biggest business in town is the government. Whether you're at a city, county, state, or federal level, how many businesses rival the size of the federal government? None. None. You take the biggest business in this country, and they're subordinate to the federal government. You go to the state, the biggest building, the biggest colossus of buildings and support are with the state. There's no business in your state that rivals your state government, I guarantee you. You go to the county and the city, the same thing. The biggest building in that town is going to be the government building. So it's a building with very few services, with very few real services. When you look at what you pay for a license for your car, for the tabs on your car, all of the things that you pay for, what do you really get for that money? What you get is an office full of people that are fleecing you for more money. Okay, so at any rate, how do you prepare financially? Basically, you have to keep under the radar. Don't go making a lot of noise, because this is a train wreck that's going to happen. The train wreck is occurring right now. The stock market, as I speak, is crashing daily. The financial sectors of this country are going under. The French economy just today is going under. The only sane people are countries like Iceland that just pulled the plug on the bank and said, "We ain't paying you. Goodbye, get out of here. We're going to create our own financial services," and then the threats come. "Well, we're going to ruin your rating. You're not going to be able to deal with any other countries. Nobody will support your financial, your money or whatever." And so it's a financial war. It's the same kind of thing that got Japan into the war in World War II. But because they would not support the European banking community, basically, is the situation. But that's not the point of this show. How do you as an individual prepare? Remember that bills like television, telephone, those services that you really don't need, if you ever try and cancel them, they probably won't cancel it, and they'll start sending you disconnect bills, other service. They're going to charge you to disconnect, in other words. People, those are the kind of services people are going to stop first. The other kinds of services, electricity or gas for your house, well, you're going to need those. So then the point there is to just start using less and less. Learn how to use less or live with less of those commodities. I've also gotten wind, and this is something very common, I just want to reiterate, that if you terminate a service, I just want to give you a little bit of advice, something I learned from my mother, bless her soul, that when you terminate a service, the last bill you should pay with a check. And on that check, in the memo, you should write "paid in full." Remember that if you pay over the phone with a credit card or a debit card, or even a check over the phone, you don't have the ability to write that in on the check. Paid in full, account closed, paid in full. And that means when they cash that check, they have agreed that that account is paid in full. It's just a little trick so that they can't come back to you and say your account has not been paid. This is another thing that's going to happen with computer billing. Once your name gets into the collection agency, how do you tell the collection agency, "I don't owe this bill. I paid them"? And the collection agency is going to say, "Well, the company says you owe, so we're going to collect." And that's the way it's going to be. And you're going to have to prove that you don't owe that bill. So, at any rate, it's really a mess, especially with computer billing the way it is, that how to terminate a service and have it completely paid for and have that service stopped and have your account closed down. There are many accounts that are difficult to get out of, like Facebook. PayPal is the one that's impossible to get out of. If you buy on Amazon or any of those accounts, eBay, try and get out of your account sometime. You're going to find out you cannot. It's impossible to get out of those accounts. They just won't let you go. They're going to keep you there. So at any rate, getting into an account is easy. Getting out of it is not easy. So all of my advice is if you shut down phone or TV or other service, make sure that last bill is with a check, says account closed, paid in full, right on the check. And when they cash that check, that's your proof when that check comes back that you paid your account and it's paid in full. That's a canceled check that the company cashes stating that they agree with that. Okay, so at any rate, but being prepared for the upcoming months, everybody knows to put your money in gold or in silver, but you can't spend that. You need some reserve, so have some cash on hand to weather the storm, so to speak, and then use it very sparingly. It doesn't get used for shopping sprees. Have food on hand, food, clean water, have your reserve clothes and shoes. Have shoes ready so that you have some very good pairs of shoes. That's the one thing that people forget about, that you're probably not going to be able to get good shoes, good boots, and clothing. So have that ready. And now, just a little plug here. I really haven't talked for many weeks about the products on my webpage. I'm not going to go into those right now, but just remember that the things that I do sell on my webpage, the Dalton water filters, that comes both the stainless steel countertop emergency gravity feed water filter with four elements, or the plastic version, the high capacity plastic, high density polyethylene version, or the little personal travel filter, which more and more people are buying just to have that little water filter with them when they're traveling, or the replacement filter elements, the best deal on the planet is on my webpage for replacement filter elements. And remember the pre-filter, that it's like a spare tire. You only need a spare tire when you need it, but there's nothing else on the planet that's going to work. That's what the pre-filter is like. It pre-filters sludge or oil or radiation or other bulk impurities out of your water before you put it into your water filter. Then there's the flax. The flax, I always recommend a case per person of flax, because that's something that you can eat on a daily basis. It'll keep you alive. And then right now, I should mention too, daily we've started to get more freeze-dried food in, a wider selection and a better stock of these items. So make sure that changes on a daily basis. So make sure you visit the webpage on a daily basis. The Mountain House freeze-dried food, this is the good stuff in the number 10 cans. It's the only thing I sell in terms of the that type of food, survival food in a can. That's so we're getting the good stuff, the Mountain House freeze-dried. And so visit the webpage and get stocked up on that. And then my books, just for people who need information. But there is an emotional issue that a lot of people have to understand. To understand, number one, that you don't have control. We would all like to go out and jump up and down, march up and down the street, and go to Washington and rip those people out of there and put real people in who have real interest in this country. But it's not going to do any good. Remember that the bankers who control all of this also have control of the militaries of the country. They can make them go to war, and if it's an issue of trying to shut down this country and keep all of you in line, they have the ability to do that by force. And so it's really a situation where this country has gotten way, way out of control, and it would be nice to think that we would have the ability to take it back. And I really believe that people have to take that attitude, that it's going to come back to us. But it's not going to be easy. Now, they've taken it piece at a time to the point that it is so far gone right now. There's nothing left to take, nothing left to get. The country has been destroyed. All the businesses have gone to China. this country has nothing left. It's a city, it's a country of cities, big city, 95% of the population lives in the city. So economically, we are in a very dire situation. I just want to refer to England this past week. I'm sure you have all heard, if you haven't heard, that gangs of youth are attacking adults and making them take off their pants and stealing them in the streets. And then after this has gone on for about a week, the Prime Minister says, we are really going to fight back. Well, no, this has all been allowed. This has all been part of the dog and pony show to take the structure away from people. And remember that as fascism takes over the countries, as we work into a situation like the movie V for Vendetta, and you look at the condition of England, that's what it's like there right now. The people are just completely taken over. They have no ability to defend for themselves or take care of themselves. And so it's the government is really sitting on top of this. So when the Prime Minister comes out and says, we're really going to fight back, it's just a joke because they permitted this to go on. And the prediction is that very soon this kind of activity is going to come to the United States. This is just another step. And the point is that fascism depends on a lot of factors like racism. Dividing the country according to race and other factors so that there's no major segment of society that can rise up against the ruling elite. Divide and conquer is an old, tried and true mechanism. And so when the real enemy is the government and the banking system that surrounds the government, what they do is they divide the populace in many different divisions, politically, economically, racially. And this is the when you see this happening, we are well on our way to fascism, the kind of situation that existed in Mussolini's and the Lenin Russia under Mussolini and other countries. These are the kind of situations that, and these people know, the textbook on this was written long ago. You divide the public in so that this little group of the public hates the public group over there and vice versa, and you get this. All of the people are divided, so what they're doing is they're fighting little wars out here amongst themselves, and the real enemy, the government and the banking system that controls the government, are not being looked at. It's everybody's attention is diverted onto these other small little hot spots, putting out fires, so to speak. And so with a public divided, that's where it's easy to come in and maintain and assert control. That's what's going on here. So this is all part of a planned, staged event. So like I say, when the Prime Minister of England comes in and he goes, we're really going to fight back on this, they're not going to do anything. That's just a statement. That's more politicizing. So at any rate, I just want to mention that a lot of people use mail order, and I want to give out the mail order address here and mention a couple items that people typically would purchase with mail order. To give out the mail order address, if you have a pen and paper, I'll give you 1 second to grab a pen and paper. And then I'll talk about the products. The mail order address is JMCC, P.O. Box 58, Navarre, N-A-V-A-R-R-E, Minnesota, 55392. That's JMCC, P.O. Box 58, Navarre, N-A-V-A-R-R-E, Minnesota, 55392. And the items that people might purchase, for example, the stainless steel Dalton water filter with four elements. This includes shipping, $299. The plastic version, which is a little bit bigger, high capacity, comes with five filter elements, is $199. That's with 5 Dalton filter elements. And then the personal filter, I believe that's still at, I would say, $79, and that includes shipping. And remember that a good, if you already have a water system, no matter what brand you have, the replacement filters, the Dalton replacement filters, you get 2 sets or 4 filter elements for $140. So that's a really good deal. They're typically about $189 for the set of 4. So when purchased 2 at a time. So the set of 4 for $140 is a pretty good deal. The pre-filter is $210. That includes shipping, and that includes the it's a series of powders that you use in the pre-filter. They're disposable powders, and the pre-filter, that's $210. That includes shipping. Flax is $140 for a case, but I would rather that any of those items, any of the food items, please order online, jmccsci.com. That's JMCC, S as in Sam, C as in Charlie, I as in Indigo.com. And let me give out the mail order address once again. That's JMCC, P.O. Box 58, Navarre, N-A-V-A-R-R-E, Minnesota, Minnesota is MN, 55392. So once again, the stainless steel Dalton water filter with 4 elements, $199. No, I'm sorry, $299. The plastic filter with 5 filter elements is $199. And the personal travel filter, 1 liter size, is $79, and that includes shipping. All of those include shipping. So I was going to talk about Moses, and as I got through the kind of the bulk of the topics in this show, sometimes it's very important to go into more detail. So I will be talking at a later time about the issue of Moses. One topic I do want to cover here, however, in the final minutes, is that the tsunami that occurred in Japan apparently raised the it went all the way to Antarctica and broke off a number of large pieces of ice, some of these the size of the island of Manhattan, so about 10 kilometers by 6 kilometers wide, 10 kilometers long by 6 kilometers wide by 80 meters deep of solid ice broke off in many of these pieces, not just a few, and they're floating up into the Atlantic, but nobody thinks about taking this water and harvesting it. This is Jim McCanny. This is my Science Hour, and as always, we are at the crossroads. Good night.